Support for Health Matters on MSPR comes from the Northeast Kentucky Area Health Education Center, located at the St. Clair Regional Medical Center in Moorhead. Additional information on the Northeast AHEC is available online at neahec.org.
Hello and welcome to Health Matters. I am your host and radio health evangelist, Dr. Tony Weaver. We call this the Where in the World is Eric Khan Show. It is our salute to Social Security King, Mr. Social Security, a famous Eastern Kentucky lawyer named Eric Khan. Mr. Khan has been indicted for Social Security fraud and is now on the lam. Thanks to our listeners at True Talk Internet Radio, and here to discuss Social Security fraud and pretty much anything else on their minds are my expert panel. First of all, from the University of Kentucky Physician Assistant Program, Shelley Irving. Hi, Shelley.
Hello.
And also to introduce you to our web presence from UK, the Interim Executive Director of Networking and Infrastructure, Rick Phillips. Hey, Rick.
Hey, Tony. You know you can get the audio of the show at WMKY.org. That's right, Morehead State Public Radio's website. Find Health Matters. There's a list of all the recent shows. There's a link there if you want to listen to the show. We encourage you to do so. Send it to a friend. Listen to it in the car. That's where you go to get the audio. It's WMKY.org. After that, jump over to Facebook.com/HMRadioShow and interact with Health Matters. That's right. It's not just one-way audio. It is two-way interaction. Leave us some messages. Leave us some comments, feedback on the shows. Suggest show topics. I guess you can say political views, although we'll probably ignore those.
Let us know where you think Eric Khan is.
Well, do we really want to be involved in all this?
Hey, there's you a $20,000 reward.
I mean, I know we're trying to get people to our site, but do we want to try to get the FBI to come to our site?
$20,000 reward,
yeah.
Man.
Yeah. Okay, great. $20,000, he'd turn himself in and have a vacation in Florida before he goes to jail. No. Facebook.com/HMRadioShow is where you go to interact with Health Matters. Again, and we encourage you to do so. That's a place where you'll see some of the things we talk about on the air, some of the things that are just in the news that are interesting at the time, some things that are medical, some things that are not necessarily medical or medical research. Again, interact with us, Facebook.com/HMRadioShow.
Our sponsor for today's show, Atrial Fibrillation, reminding you there ain't no summer vacation from the scourge of atrial fibrillation. Atrial fibrillation, a common heart rhythm disturbance primarily affecting older people. It can lead to blood clots, stroke, and heart failure. That's why you use blood thinners when you have atrial fibrillation. In 2014, in North America, it affected around 2-3% of the population. It has a predilection for older people. This is an older person's heart rhythm disturbance. There are at least 2.7 million Americans living with atrial fibrillation. Now, I got this atrial fibrillation quiz from the journal Patient Care. This is a bunch of foods and things that you might stick in your body and how they affect atrial fibrillation. So we've got the atrial fibrillation quiz. And the first question is alcohol. Does alcohol increase atrial fibrillation, decrease atrial fibrillation, or no effect?
No comment.
No comment from Rick, Shelley.
Increase.
Increase, absolutely. There's a condition known as holiday heart, where if you go on a drinking binge, you actually have a higher risk. 21 drinks per week increases your atrial fibrillation risk by 39%, according to the journal Patient Care. In women, 2 drinks a day increases it by around 60%. But that doesn't quite go with the previous numbers, but that's what I've got in front of me. 1.5 drinks a day by 25 to 46%. Each drink increases it by around 8%. None of that math works. The point is definitely alcohol increases your risk of atrial fibrillation.
Is it a sustained risk, or if you quit drinking, will that risk go down?
It should go back to normal, I believe. And it seems that when you load
an ankle
up,
bracelet should work too.
Yeah, you would think. We're doing a special feature on ankle bracelets right after the sponsor, Rick, so hang in there, buddy. And then second, this is we'll do 2 per segment. I've got 6 different things. Coffee. Does coffee increase or decrease your risk of atrial fibrillation?
You know what my response is, right? Who cares?
Who cares? Coffee is so much fun. Yes. Who cares what it does to your heart? Well, it turns out that it does not appear to increase your risk. It's kind of odd because caffeine in the short term does maybe have some effects in increasing your blood pressure.
But it keeps you from getting grumpy and getting killed.
That's true, and that's a good thing. The other thing is it appears long term your body adjusts to it, and so there is no increased risk with coffee. We'll talk more about atrial fibrillation and the things that might increase or decrease your risk in our second fractional portion, but that's our sponsor, Atrial Fibrillation, reminding you there ain't no summer vacation from the scourge of atrial fibrillation. Now, Eric Kahn and ankle bracelets, $20,000 reward for fugitive attorney Eric Kahn. As of the time we recorded this show, he was still, in fact, on the lam. Now, I
don't you like saying that?
I do.
You like saying on the
on
lam.
The lam.
We don't know if he's on a lam or he's on I-75, but he's somewhere.
Somewhere. Now, I first became acquainted with Eric Kahn. I've never met the man.
Now, you say that, and I've driven through eastern Kentucky enough times on the way to Pikeville heading for vacation or something that I've seen the billboards up. He had billboards everywhere down through Salyersville and Pikeville and all that.
Yeah, and the whole thing about the billboards, his head always stuck out the top of the billboards.
Right.
And the billboard said, Mr. Social Security. He had a group of women called Kahn's Hotties. We're not going to get
any
more.
I didn't know about those, Tony. How did you find out about those?
I read the papers.
Just Google it.
Yeah. Really.
Shelly, I'm trying to get Tony in trouble. You're not helping.
She's a loyal co-host. That's why she gets promoted to the hot seat next time. But at any rate, he has that. The other thing is he got Ralph Stanley to do a commercial for him.
Well, that's going to work in eastern Kentucky.
Yeah, it really did. The problem was he was Mr. Social Security. He could get you Social Security disability money when no one else could. And the way that worked is he paid off the judge. He paid a judge over $500,000 to alter the decisions on Social Security determinations. Meanwhile, that was a total of $550 million in fraud, and quite a bit of that went to his pocket. So this guy's a very wealthy man, able to take over bluegrass music stars and pretty much whatever he needed to do in eastern Kentucky. In 2016, one of his employees said he told them he would flee to Ecuador to avoid prosecution. Another employee said he was going to Cuba. He does have some money apparently stowed away offshore somewhere. Now, he was indicted in April. In March of 2017, stealing from Social Security and bribing a federal judge. He pleaded guilty to submitting false information on request for his clients. And about a week prior to us recording this show, he was preparing to testify, but he cut off his ankle bracelet and disappeared on a Friday evening. And right away, the next Wednesday, the FBI is offering a reward. Now, I have watched science fiction movies. And when you cut off an ankle bracelet, it explodes.
Up.
Yeah, it does.
Right, it explodes.
You can't cut those things off.
He should have ink
off.
All over him.
At the very least.
He should be covered in ink.
And he might not even have a foot.
Only he knows.
Oh, now, Shelley, you said you've had some experience, not personally, but professionally, with ankle bracelets.
Yes, not personally, but professionally.
I'm not sure I'd even go down this path. This is going to get good.
It's an interesting story. I had a patient come into the clinic once for an acute care visit, and when he sat down, his jeans, you know, raised up a little bit, and he had this thing on his ankle. And I said, "What's that?" And he said, "Oh, that's my bracelet. I'm under house arrest." And I said, "Well, this ain't home." And, you know, nothing blew up. The police didn't, you know, surround the clinic. The SWAT team didn't show up. So I was a little confused as to the purpose of the house arrest, but
yeah, apparently house arrest is a more of a euphemism. It's a general idea.
Well, but I think, you know, we can jest all we want, but I think what happens is the ankle bracelet does get monitored 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, and it tracks your location, and then I think somebody reviews the data, and if you violated the terms of whatever your arrest is, could be the city, could be the house, could be the, you know, it could vary depending on the judge's, you know, ruling. At that point, if you violate it, then obviously you're subject to, you know, the court.
Eric Kahn's ankle bracelet found along I-75.
I'm pretty sure he violated his pretty bad.
Somewhere yeah. in the Lexington area with yeah. no particular foot or leg of anyone attached yeah. to it.
Yeah, so. Hollywood's version's way better.
Yeah. Well, you know, if you go by the Hollywood version, you can get you some of that free spray. And you can prolong it for 5 or 10 seconds.
Oh, that's a good point. And somewhere, as soon as you cut it, a timer starts.
Right.
And then it starts counting down. Usually
30
seconds.
But in the
seconds.
Movies, the counters always stop at one.
Because
they just stop at
because
one.
Because MacGyver fixes it with a paperclip.
Well, somebody does. Yeah. Everybody always fixes it with something.
In fact, these bombs very rarely go off, except unless it's a bad guy.
Did you think they thought this guy's not a flight risk?
The employees told them that it was a flight risk. His the prosecuting attorney told them. As a matter of fact, Ned Pillersdorf said there was a pool in Prestonsburg about when he was going to flee.
Yeah, not if, when.
When.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, it only makes, I mean, this guy is probably going to jail for a long, long time. It makes, and what are they saying? He's got pots of money in various places.
Sure.
He's probably going to go find his pots of money that are outside the U.S. He probably dropped the ankle bracelet 75 south, and I'm going to tell you, he's on 75 north. He dropped it. He's heading the other direction.
Oh, he's going to Canada. He's one of these guys.
Right. He's going to Canada.
Well, you'd think if he was really clever, he'd put it in somebody else's vehicle going some random direction.
Yeah, that's what they do on the shows.
Yeah.
You know, they always, Hollywood. If there's some tracker, then all of a sudden it just goes, and they put it on a garbage truck or something like that.
Yeah, something.
And then you find it in a garbage can or, a little bit disappointing just to throw it along the side of the road because they're going to find it there.
You'd think that if you figured out a way to defraud the government out of, you know, thousands and thousands and millions of dollars in certain you know, payments, that you could probably figure out how to be on the lam a little better.
Well, it sounds like he's quite the showman too. So, you know, he could have done a lot better.
I do believe, yeah, $550 million in Social Security fraud. Now, not all that went to him; it went to some of the customers he had. But I'm sure he pocketed a pretty good amount of that. If I had millions of dollars, the first thing I would do is I would hire a henchman. You need henchmen, at least one henchman. If you would like, Rick, I will interview for my henchman position because you could be a good henchman, I think. But I need henchmen. Men.
I don't follow orders well.
Do the henchmen ever follow orders?
It's okay. I'm going to sacrifice you when I leave. You're going to stand and shoot it out with the police, so that's all fine. But I would have an escape plan, and I don't know if he does or not. I got a minute. I got to get back to health. And again, we're
really
gonna,
why we don't have to.
We're gonna base the show on
do,
long
do you own
legal
the show
stuff.
Or not?
Yes, May 30th. This was from Berlin. It was reported by Reuters. Germany passed a law which obliged kindergartens to inform authorities if parents fail to provide evidence they have received advice from their doctor on vaccinating their children. Not necessarily if they fail to vaccinate, but if they fail to receive advice. If they refuse to receive advice, they'll get fined up to $2,800 under the law. Passed on June 1st. The problem is, especially measles has been rising. Rates have been rising. Measles epidemic in 2016, 2,000 cases. That's 10 times the number in 2015. In 10 European countries, cases of measles, which cause blindness or encephalitis, has doubled in the first 2 months of 2017. So there is a real pro-vaccine activism occurring in Europe, which has not yet occurred in the United States. We have said over and over again, measles is a nasty disease. Mumps is a nasty disease. These can kill children. We believe that vaccination is important. And apparently in Europe, they've been roused from their lethargy and are now taking serious steps to try to get their kids vaccinated. You should take serious steps to the refrigerator, grab something to drink.
Drop
we're going to take a break.
Bracelet.
Leave it on the floor. Who really is paying attention anyway? And come back for our second fractional portion. You're listening to Health Matters on Moorhead State Public Radio.
Support for MSPR comes from the Northeast Kentucky Area Health Education Center, located at the St. Clair Regional Medical Center in Moorhead. The Northeast AHEC connects students to careers, professionals to communities, and communities to better health. The Northeast AHEC strives to improve the supply and distribution of healthcare professionals through the community and academic educational partnerships. More information is available online at neahec.org.
Hello and welcome back. This is the second fractional portion of Health Matters. No, we receive no calls on where Eric Kahn is. This is Rick Phillips.
Shelley Irving.
And I'm Dr. Tony Weaver. And this is the Where in the World is Eric Kahn
show.
We
don't know.
Our salute to the on-the-lam former attorney has given up his legal license and license to practice law. And at the time of the show is somewhere.
Without his ankle bracelet.
Without his ankle bracelet. That's probably the best we could say.
And his ankle bracelet have been separated.
Our sponsor for the second time, atrial fibrillation, reminding you there ain't no summer vacation from the scourge of atrial fibrillation. Atrial fibrillation, a common heart rhythm disturbance. And the best way I can describe this, you have two atria, which are the top chambers of the heart. They contract and squeeze blood into those big pumping chambers at the bottom of the heart. If they stop contracting and simply quiver, That's atrial fibrillation. This confuses the bottom chambers of the heart and makes them beat irregularly, but they still beat. You still have a pulse, you still have a blood pressure, but they are beating irregularly rather than a regular rhythm that you usually have. The other problem is those quivering atria can form blood clots inside them because they're no longer contracting and forcing the blood out. The blood pools up, it clots. Next thing you know, you've got a stroke or you've got a blood clot pushed out into a part of your body. That is why people who have atrial fibrillation go on blood thinner medicines. And unless you have a contraindication, we try to have most people with atrial fibrillation, particularly elderly people, on blood thinner medicines. We do some calculations of your risk of having a blood clot, and that determines whether or not we treat. In Europe and North America, as of 2014, around 2-3% of the total population, but my numbers say higher, probably around 5% of the elderly population, because it is predominantly a disease of the elderly. At least 2.7 million Americans have atrial fibrillation. Now, I'll remind you from last time, we talked about alcohol increases your risk of developing atrial fibrillation. Coffee, no effect that we can tell. Theoretically, it might should increase your risk, but in fact, in practice, it doesn't. Next up, chocolate.
Now, tread lightly. As the female in the room,
right,
you do not want to take chocolate away from women.
Right.
That's just a bad idea.
Otherwise, you're going to get your own ankle.
That's right. Yeah. You don't trash chocolate in front of Shelly. This can be a serious thing. In previous studies, no effect. There was a study called the Danish Diet Cancer and Health Study. 1-3 servings of dark chocolate in that study per month, 1-3 per month, decreased your risk of atrial fibrillation by 10%. It was argued that, well, you know, at least in apparently in Danish land.
Was that a cream cheese day then?
Yeah, okay. But at any rate, healthy people eat dark chocolate, and so it may be simply selecting healthy people rather than the actual effect of the chocolate. But this was an observational study. They looked and they asked, how much chocolate do you consume during a month? And they looked at their risk of atrial fibrillation, and it was lower. I would not use chocolate as a protection mechanism, but it certainly there's no evidence that it raises it. Number four, marijuana. Raise or lower?
I don't know.
Come on, Rick. Well, if you set fire to something and stick it in your mouth, pretty much anything, and we'll put marijuana as part of the things that you set fire to and stick in your mouth, those things increase your risk of atrial fibrillation. Once, as it becomes more widely used, I think we'll see more about associations, but at least the observational studies we've been able to do so far, marijuana, in fact, does increase your risk of atrial fibrillation. So let's run through it again. Alcohol increases, coffee, no effect, chocolate, either no effect or perhaps decreases, marijuana increases. That's what we know about atrial fibrillation, and that is our sponsor, Atrial Fibrillation. There ain't no summer vacation from the scourge of atrial fibrillation. Now, we are here talking about Eric Kahn, who is being searched for. So I found this, the 20 most commonly searched diseases. And I thought that was pretty interesting. What do people Google when they go online? What diseases are they interested in? And this came from Microsoft, research from Microsoft, edited by a website called STAT, S-T-A-T. More than one-third of Americans search for diagnosis online, according to a 2013 Pew survey, and half those people discuss their findings with a healthcare provider, which is nice. The bad thing is that the other half of people search for diseases online and don't discuss it with anybody, not necessarily the best thing. If you look at the top 20 diagnoses, I'll give you a couple here that are of interest. Coming in at number 19 is diverticulitis, and I think it's kind of a mysterious disease, a disease of the colon, an infectious disease of the colon. The colon has some weak areas where the blood vessels dive in to give it a blood supply. Around those blood vessels, if you squeeze, the colon squeezes hard to push stool through, it pops out a little balloon-like thing, like a little tiny appendix, and that can get infected, and that, in fact, is diverticulitis. And that was number 19. Coming in at number 17, endometriosis. I can understand that. That's a pretty mysterious disease as well.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. I am not a gynecologist by any stretch, but this is where the lining of your uterus, small amounts of it, establish themselves in the abdomen. so that when a woman has her period, she not only bleeds from the period, she also bleeds into the abdomen, which can cause some pain and irritation and so forth. And we usually use a laparoscope to look around the abdomen and find those areas. But it can be a real problem. Scabies is number 15. And I think that's just because people get what I call the heebie-jeebies. They start wondering if this itching thing they've got might be scabies. Well, that's at 15. Human papillomavirus, HPV, comes in at number 11. And a good search. I think people should be looking at that. But here are your top 10 most commonly Googled diseases. Number 10, Lyme disease.
Ticks.
Yep. That is a tick-borne disease, mainly in the Northeast and also in the Wisconsin, kind of the upper Midwest areas. But there will be a handful of cases reported in Kentucky, some of them from traveling, some of them we can't quite figure out.
So are you taking a 12-month, you know, or is this a seasonal thing?
Nope. It's it was in these 20 conditions most searched in 2016. So this is a 12-month long thing.
Searches for how to remove an ankle bracelet weren't there?
Possibly, but not under the diseases. Coming in at number 9, schizophrenia. That's an interesting search. I would not think that was the 9th most common disease.
Interesting.
Yeah. Number 8, and I think...
Are we allowed to make jokes? We're not, right? That's something we can't joke about, right?
The standard schizophrenia jokes, probably, yeah, we should just leave those off.
Yeah, no.
They're not funny.
No.
Okay. I'll go back to ankle bracelets.
Rick's going to keep doing ankle
that's
bracelets.
That's all I have today.
Yeah, gotcha. Number 8, psoriasis. And I believe that's because of the TV advertisements.
Yeah.
And I'm sorry, if you have psoriasis, I'm going to be insensitive here. But the idea that we don't see people with psoriasis or that we think that they're contagious. I mean, if you have really severe psoriasis, that may be so. You've got a it causes this really scaly looking rash to come on your skin, and it can occupy large patches of the skin. It's not a pleasant thing at all. But as far as being outcast, the patients I treat with psoriasis, I don't get that feel from them. However, if you make them victims, then obviously you're going to sell a lot more expensive psoriasis medicines. But that's my 2 cents worth. I see it as a condition. I did not see it as a condition that had serious social effects. It is true. You're less likely to take your shirt off and things like that. But frankly, that's a good thing. I will not take my shirt off, and psoriasis has nothing to do with that. I just I have a respect for humanity. I would never do that. Number 7 is shingles. Mm-hmm. And again, it's something you always wondered, is this shingles that I've got? I've got a rash, it hurts, something like that.
Yeah, and
like
it
that.
Could be because of the vaccine as well.
Yeah, there is a shingles vaccine that is recommended for adults at age 60. And whether you've had shingles in the past or not, it is recommended. Number 6 is lupus. A complex disease, and I was surprised, again, at lupus coming in at that level. I guess you have so many different symptoms that could be lupus. Maybe that's why they did it. Now, you look at the top 5, and I'd have to say, for me, it's a little bit disappointing. Number 5 is yeast infection. You think of all the afflictions of mankind. And if you are suffering from a yeast infection, I don't mean to belittle your disease, but there are other more common causes of death and dismemberment in the United States than a yeast infection. It's just true. Number 4, also up there in the life-threatening category, hemorrhoids.
Now, but uncomfortable.
Yeah, and the thing is, this is something you would much rather find out online than to talk to someone about.
Actually, Tony, you'd much rather not find out.
True.
But both of those are probably more common than a lot of the life-threatening things that we think about or that lay people would think about.
Yeah, true. Number 3, anxiety. If you Google it, you have it.
True. True.
To go with your paranoia.
Yeah, I'm very worried about anxiety, and I wonder if anybody's looking at my screen.
And your obsessive compulsive.
Yeah, I better copy this down.
Yeah.
Number 2 is depression. Potentially a life-threatening condition. Number 1, the number 1 search for illness, number 1 Googled illness in the United States in 2016 was diabetes.
Yeah, it makes sense. It's a complex problem. I mean, there's lots of different areas of diabetes that make people wonder. Yeah, I can see where that would be a number 1 search.
You know, the thing that impressed me was that other than shingles, every one of those conditions is something that would affect younger people. For instance, the things that are not on the list, any type of cancer. And you would think, I mean, this is fast becoming the number one cause of death in the United States. Cancer and heart disease, neither one of them is on the top 20 list anywhere.
Yeah, but Tony, to some extent, you know, are the people that are of the age that would have those types of issues doing searches?
Right.
They're not using Google friendly.
Right.
It's not their first choice anyway.
Drug overdose is not there. And that would be that age group, and it would be life-threatening.
Would it? I mean, is that something you want to put online that you're, you know, is that something that if Big Brother's watching, you really want to be searching on?
I don't think they think through that very well.
You know, in terms of, I like that, Shelly. In terms of, you know, yeah, of a cohesive plan of action, maybe not. But it just struck me. So we got heart disease, cancer, stroke, top three causes of death, not there. Respiratory disease, number four, not there. Drug overdose and other accidents, not there. And then Alzheimer's disease also. And you can there you can make your funny, you know, your jokes. Well, Alzheimer's patients are probably not going to be Googling at all. Except accidentally, but it struck me that some of the more serious conditions affecting us are not. Meanwhile, I'll go back to the list. Number 18 on the list was strep throat. So the interesting thing is we search for less severe diseases, and it's probably, as you mentioned, because young people do most of the search. You would think they would care about their parents. I guess what I'm getting from this is my kids are not even searching about what's bothering me. They just don't care. They would rather find out about yeast infections that they might have.
Who knows why people search for that stuff, right? I mean, the thing is that question itself is fairly complex and has a lot of variables, right?
So no wisdom for Rick on the Google searches.
I mean, you're supposed to be. Here I am. I spend 8 hours a day on a computer. I go on an airplane. I'm that stupid guy that has three different devices. I've got my phone, my tablet, and my computer.
Now, do you go on internet on airplanes?
I have. I certainly
but not,
have.
Not on a regular basis.
No, there's usually a reason to do that. And if I got to work or I've got a commitment that I've, you know, done or whatever. But I mean, I am a pretty connected guy. I have never, ever searched for a medical diagnosis. Ever. Ever. You're looking at me like you're amazed. I've never looked up strep throat. I've never looked up that. But Tony, there is something. I worked in healthcare 16 years, and I'm married to a medical family. I mean, I mean, a lot of times my Google sits on the couch. I just have to ask, and then of course I do a weekly radio show with a pretty smart dude.
I think it's sweet how you call her my Google.
Yeah. I do a weekly radio show with a pretty smart dude who I tend to ask questions about.
Well, we can go ahead and announce on the radio. Rick apparently doesn't have hemorrhoids. I think, you know, because if he's not doing the searches, that's the thing he wouldn't talk to his little Google about, right, or me. And so if he's not searching for it, I suppose he's
I don't have diabetes.
Yeah, this is true. So,
you know, my ankle bracelet's intact.
So
I don't have an ankle bracelet, but I do have a ring of obedience. Right?
Okay. Yeah, we all have our metaphorical ankle bracelets in life, and there are those things, but we won't go there because we're going to mess with Rick's marriage at a very inopportune time.
And I'm telling Mary you did it.
Yeah. But let's return to Eric Conmore.
So what have you searched for, Tony? What have you searched for? Not for your patients, not to help a patient. What have you searched for Tony Weaver?
You know,
or your family, or your immediate family.
Okay.
What have you done searches on?
You know, the one that I remember, and by the way, my search history, I don't even have to go look at it. My search history is all those advertisements on the side of my computer tells me exactly what I've searched for.
Mine come up with fishing poles.
Yeah. I'm interested in buying women's swimsuits. This is
wow.
I know.
Tony, who's using your computer when you're not around?
That's why he doesn't take his shirt off.
Yeah.
Whoa.
There's so many ways to go with this. But let's stay focused, guys. Please stay
You're
focused.
The one who started this.
I know. The big search that I did that keeps showing up is I search for how to build a carpenter bee trap. And I have carpenter bee traps that
are... I have
two
of them.
Yeah.
I didn't build them. I bought them.
Yeah.
But they're very effective.
One of them works well. The other one doesn't.
I think
it's
to empty mine twice a year. They're that effective.
Well, there you go.
Mason jar full of them.
Right,
twice.
And so I've built carpenter bee traps. Meanwhile, once you do that, then your computer is desperate to sell you more carpenter bee traps, even
Tony,
though you made your own.
On the right-hand side of that ad, there's a little arrow that points down. You can open it up and say, I've already bought this product.
I wouldn't.
And
give
it
them
goes
the satisfaction.
Away. It'll go away and tell you what the next important thing on your list is.
See, that's just more women's swimsuits. So I certainly don't need that. But if we look again at our friend Eric Kahn, if he goes to Central America.
So back to the original question, yeah. What's the last time you searched for a medical thing?
You know, I do it every day. But
for yourself, for your family.
Yeah, for myself. That's been a long time.
When was the last time you searched on the internet for something related to you or your immediate family?
That not on Google.
At all on the computer?
Well, I'll use medical resources to look up. I might look up a dosing of something for my son, something over the counter or whatever, but.
Okay. That's a valid answer. Yeah. You don't even check for doses. You just throw pills at them.
Well, since my kids are in Louisiana and Oregon, it's, I don't have that kind of arm.
Either that or you're pretty smart.
Oh, there's nothing. I suppose I should, but frankly, I've really gotten interested in women's swimsuits, apparently. And so I don't have time for all these medical terms. Back to Eric Kahn. We got a minute.
He's gone.
I know. But if he is in Central America, the FBI says he's still in the country. But if he did make it to Central America, he's got to worry about Zika. So far, Tony,
we need to talk about Zika because I spent last week, the week before we recorded this, in the U.S. Virgin Islands. Zika's a thing for them down there.
What did you notice?
Well, that they're in between the advertisements in the movie theater. They put up how to deal with Zika. They had signs in the airport. I mean, everywhere was Zika and pregnant. You know, they have a massive communications plan down there to deal with Zika. It was pretty impressive.
Last year, 5,000 people and change in the United States were reported with the disease. Most of them were travelers. 64 babies in the U.S. have been affected since the government started reporting outcomes. Puerto Rico, of course, a U.S. territory, 34,000 and change cases in 2016. The problem comes that we are running out of the appropriation, the money that we use to fight Zika. And unless Congress approves more money, we are, in fact, going to more or less drop our surveillance. Mosquito surveillance has already dropped from 96% to 80% in 2012, 96% in 2004 to 80% in 2012, and we're running out of monies to spray and try to enact mosquito control. So we are headed for some big trouble in Zika, and Eric Kahn, should he make it to Central America or Caribbean countries, he may find himself in a bit of a position with Zika, along with the problem for the FBI and extradition to the United States and those other things. I mean, there's a lot of things I'm sure that Eric Kahn is thinking about now, probably not Googling carpenter bees or any particular disease, probably Googling how do I get out of this mess or staying off the internet altogether. You should take a break, get a warm or cool beverage of your choice, and come back for our third and final fractional portion. You're listening to Health Matters on Moorhead State Public Radio.
Support for MSPR comes from the Northeast Kentucky Area Health Education Center, located at the St. Clair Regional Medical Center in Moorhead. The Northeast AHEC connects students to careers, professionals to communities, and communities to better health. The Northeast AHEC strives to improve the supply and distribution of healthcare professionals through the community and academic educational partnerships. More information is available online at neahec.org.
Hello and welcome back. This is the third and final fractional portion of Health Matters. I'm Rick Phillips.
I'm Shelley Irving.
I'm Dr. Tony Weaver. This is the Where in the World is Eric Kahn show. Our salute to on the limb, Eastern Kentucky, Social Security guru, former attorney Eric Kahn. We have followed with interest his exploits, and we are ready to name a show after him because that's sort of what we do. Our sponsor for the final time, Atrial Fibrillation, reminding you there ain't no summer vacation from the scourge of atrial fibrillation. Atrial fibrillation, this is a heart rhythm where the top chambers of the heart, they're smaller chambers. They're in charge of filling the big bottom pumping chambers of the heart. The atria fill the ventricles. The ventricles are working fine. They are confused because the atria, instead of beating, are simply quivering. That quivering leads the ventricles to beat irregularly. You have an irregular pulse. It feels uncomfortable. For most people, it is not life-threatening as a heart rhythm disturbance, but while those atria are quivering, blood can form clots. The ventricles pump those clots out to the brain, to other vital organs, and you are very sick. If we use blood thinners and we keep the ventricles from beating too rapidly or too slowly, generally people with atrial fibrillation do okay. It is, affects about 2 to 3% of the total population. My numbers say over 5% of people over age 65. 2.7 million Americans living with atrial fibrillation. I got this quiz from the journal Patient Care about things that make you more likely or less likely to have atrial fibrillation. And just a reminder, alcohol makes you more likely. Coffee has no effect. Chocolate may be beneficial, although we are somewhat skeptical. Marijuana increases your risk. We're now up to number 5, cigarettes. And Rick, I will ask you.
Increase.
Absolutely. You're now an atrial fibrillation expert thanks to careful coaching and also Google searches on atrial fibrillation during the break.
And really, just more importantly, me listening.
Yeah. Anything you your mouth and set fire to, if it doesn't just burn your lips, will wind up increasing your risk of heart disease. Current and former smoking increases your risk of atrial fibrillation by 51%. It does decrease after you quit. It's been reported that up to 12% of atrial fibrillation cases and people who smoke could be avoided with smoking cessation. Secondhand smoke also a higher risk. So any way you look at it, cigarettes will increase your risk of atrial fibrillation. And then number 6, energy drinks. Now, energy drinks, of course, are high in caffeine, but similar to coffee. And so your first thought is, well, maybe like coffee. Turns out they also have taurine and guarana. If I'm pronouncing that wrong, I am sorry. And these, first of all, distinguish energy drinks from coffee and also may increase your risk. In fact, the source I've got says excessive use can trigger atrial fibrillation. How do you know you're using it excessively? Well, you get atrial fibrillation. That's one of the many indications that you may be drinking too much energy drinks. I've told people this before. I still have problems with these energy drinks. My medical students and others, they bring them into class. I've been to some meetings, particularly tech meetings, where for breakfast there is orange juice, there are continental breakfast, and there's a big stack of AMP energy drinks or some other form of energy drinks over for the participants. One way to liven up a conference is just to basically caffeine everyone half to death, and you find that you get a lot more done during your conference. So I have problems with them anyway, but they do seem to cause more problems with atrial fibrillation as well. As our sponsor, Atrial Fibrillation, final time, their motto, there ain't no summer vacation from the scourge of atrial fibrillation. Now, what would happen to Eric Kahn if he did make it to Central America? What would be his next business venture? And I've got two health-related things that I could pass on to Eric Kahn. First of all, there is a Philadelphia-based company called BioQuark. I am not making any of this up. They are close to starting a clinical trial to determine whether a series of procedures administered to clinically dead people can bring them back to life. I wanted to save this for the Halloween show, but I thought since Eric's going to be maybe down in Central America anyway, he might want to check these people out. If you are clinically dead and you enroll in the trial, well, the first problem is, how are you going to get consent?
Yeah, how can you give your consent if you're clinically dead? Yeah.
Can you give your consent ahead of time?
Usually, when a person is at the point of being clinically dead, and no. Rick, it's
you
a,
have
it's
to
a
be
question.
Clinically dead to give your consent?
No, well, you couldn't don't have be, to be to give.
Couldn't we be non-clinically dead?
Yeah, you could be, in the words of the coroner or the Wizard of Oz, you could be nearly dead or you could be most sincerely dead. Clinically dead, though, is a little bit tough to determine. And giving consent would be obviously a problem.
Can you Google that?
Most people, thank you, most people who are clinically dead didn't intend or plan to be that way. And so it's a tough one. If you are clinically dead and if somehow you are enrolled in the trial, the first thing they do is they inject stem cells from your own fat or blood isolated. They inject them into your, into your brain or in your spinal cord. Second, they use a peptide formula injected into the spinal cord to help nurture the growth of new neurons. They're really concerned about the brain, regrowing the brain. And then third, 15-day regimen of nerve stimulation and laser therapy, which I find, what kind of laser therapy. The idea is, again, you're trying to stimulate nerve growth. You're trying to revive the nervous system. And if you have that, then if your hand falls off, we can get you a bionic arm or whatever. But we got to keep the brain going. And so that is their plan. They have never tested the procedure in animals. But they plan on a new trial in Latin America in the coming months. So if there happened to be a borderline unethical attorney there, he might be able to find employment working for BioQuark.
On the IRB.
On their institutional review board to determine the appropriate ethical standards for bringing dead people back to life. I mean, the fact that they are seriously doing this just tells you how outmoded our ethics are. I mean, this just sounds to me like it should never even be tried. This is Frankenstein.
Yeah,
it really is. That subject has been discussed and debated over and over again. It's completely unethical. But apparently, you know, the idea from the Philadelphia people is, well, if it's unethical, maybe we can do it in Central America. That's, you know, because, you know, that.
Because it's okay.
Yeah.
Eric Kahn's there to make it okay.
Yeah, and he can fill out the paperwork. I'm sure he's very good at that. He can figure out how to get things done in Central America, since you can do it in Eastern Kentucky. I'm shocked. I'm horrified. Art Kaplan, who's a bioethicist, in 2016, he wrote an editorial. He said, this bordered on quackery, which I find interesting that it borders on quackery. I'm pretty much, I think it's moved over. It crossed the border long before Eric Kahn did. Mm-hmm. No scientific foundation, and it gives families a cruel and false hope for recovery. Mm-hmm. I don't know how in love I would have to be to fall for something like this. So we're trying to, and Eric Kahn, if you're listening to the radio show, BioQuark is in Philadelphia, and they are starting a trial in Central America. You might want to look them up. Next up, this is April 27th from London. Trading in illegal organs.
Wow.
It is a booming business in Lebanon. Now, I don't think he has money stowed away in Lebanon. No, none of his employees said that he had threatened to go to Lebanon. And let's face it, that would not exactly be a great place to go on the lam. If we're going on the lam, we would not go to Lebanon. No. I think Central South America is the number one. I've not done any surveys. Got to be the number one place to go on the lam. You don't go to Canada.
You don't think Fiji or...
Where would you go on the lam?
Someplace warm.
You're going to go back to St. Martin or something like that?
St. Thomas?
St. Thomas?
Probably... I'm not telling.
Okay, so we know where Rick's going to go on the lam. Shelly, are you going to go out to the campground, the KOA?
Maybe.
Why wouldn't you just like get on a ship and just sail and don't be on land?
Just cruise?
Yeah.
Well, you have to make sure you know where they port, but sure.
You could be on the fish.
On the fish.
I sort of liked it. That might work. What do you think, Shelly? Going on the lam.
Going on the lam. Where would I? I don't know where I would go.
Well, this is the question.
Probably a jungle.
That we don't have.
Yeah, exactly.
I'd still have my ankle bracelet on at home going, what am I going
to
do?
Yeah, I need to hire a good lawyer. Maybe I can plea bargain.
I wonder if Eric Kahn's available.
He's a good lawyer. He got off. I don't know.
Where would you go?
Well, my daughter did some research work in Panama, and I found Panama is a pretty nice place.
Sure.
I could see
going
to Panama.
But don't you think we'd figure that out because you've got ties to Panama? It'd be pretty easy to find you there. Wouldn't your first location be someplace that doesn't have extradition?
Yeah, I think I guess that's why. I don't know what the situation is with Cuba, but I don't think we've been... Our relations with Cuba have not been such that extraditions historically been done, at least recently. So that might be a good place.
Yeah.
And I don't know about Ecuador. I assume that it's okay.
I think you start looking at the countries that don't have extradition, and that's where you start making your decisions.
Well, there's a lot of in my garage.
Yeah,
I'm not that creative when
do
it comes
to. Do you even have a garage?
No. I have a garage, and I could hide in the back behind a box.
Behind a box.
Look, I Not that creative.
I got a feeling that. You might as well leave the ankle bracelet on.
Okay. Well, if I'm in the garage, I could probably just.
Then you're just kind of
Get some good behavior time off or something.
In the background. Just, yeah. BBC journalist Alex Forsyth. This is a Beirut suburb. A guy named Abu Jafar. That was at least the guy he's identified as. I know it's illegal, but I'm helping people. That's how I see it. Some of my clients would have died anyway. And you think about the desperate situation in Syria. You can understand.
Which clients?
Yeah, the people that he's selling their
harvesting
kidneys.
From, or
yeah,
the people
the ones
that
he's harvesting from. Again, he can if they sell their organs, they may get enough money that they may be able to arrange to save their lives.
Okay.
So last 3 years, 30 refugees usually will sell a kidney, but also he did have a person that was willing to sell his eye this is it used to be if you wanted an organ, you went to China or the Philippines, but apparently the Middle East is a place. He drives blindfolded people who agree to sell their organs to a hidden location. They undergo basic blood tests. The doctors operate in rented houses, and then he brings them back. They look after him for a week, and a Syrian boy sold his kidney for around $8,300 to support his mother and sisters.
Okay, none of that sounded like an up-and-up voluntary thing.
No.
They blindfold you. They take you someplace you don't know.
You get paid for it.
So?
Let me just say here, I am not going on the record as defending organ harvesting by any stretch.
Well, they use the word acquire a client, or use that term.
Yeah. I think the degree of desperation here, people are willing. I myself cannot fathom this degree of desperation.
No.
And I think, I think between bringing people back to life and selling organs from live donors for money, these are troubling times we live in.
Very.
Yeah, very disturbing.
More fun to talk about ankle bracelets.
It is. So let's switch gears. I don't like the direction this is.
Well, I didn't realize. We're, this is not the Walking Dead show.
Oh, it's Eric Kahn on the Lamb show.
Yeah, but we spent
on the fish.
All we're doing, yeah, on the fish. I like it. On the dolphin, on the porpoise.
Fair enough.
On the whale.
All right, I got two more, and so
no, you don't have time for two more. But go ahead if you want.
Okay, thank you. This one we've talked about this some, but this is back April 20th. Current biology. New York Times reported it, but it was published in the journal Current Biology. It may be possible to improve memory using pulses of electricity if they're properly timed. And I think the thing that you've got to do is time the pulses of electricity with a person with a specific thought. The trials involved a person looking at an object or forming a specific memory, and they would then hit them with the electricity, and they found they were able to remember more details from whatever they're looking at. And so it's possible. And their argument is this may help reduce symptoms of dementia. It may help people recover from head injuries and other conditions. They worked with people who had seizures, people who had chronic seizures. They had already implanted electrodes temporarily implanted in their brains as part of treatment. So they have these people with refractory epilepsy and seizures come in. They put electrodes in their brain, and then around comes not Eric Kahn, but someone who's actually cares about people and does right, and says, "Do we have your permission? We'd like to run a little pulse of electricity while you look at some things, since you've got these electrodes in your brain anyway." And they put the pulse of electricity in, and they were able to remember details a little bit better if they hit them with the electricity. Now, we've talked about this many times on this show, ways to enhance memory. There are the gaming helmets that they've got the little 9-volt battery, and they create an electric field around your brain. People use magnets to try to improve their memory. I have not used magnets while studying. Rick, a recent degree from Morehead State, you probably, I would say, I know you studied and worked hard, but I suspect most of that degree is from the magnets that you used to tape to your head.
Absolutely.
During class.
Absolutely. And it was online, so I just taped them at home and sat there on the couch.
So. You know, that's why, you know, when you come up with a legitimate question, like, where would you want to go on the lam? Rick just freezes up.
Why do you use the word legitimate?
He doesn't have his magnets, and it's really hard for him to free think without those magnets.
You don't want me free thinking.
Okay, just
free thinking will get us all in trouble.
Just thinking out loud here. One more thing.
You don't want me to do that either.
One more thing, and then
do I have a choice?
No, you don't. This was April 24th, but wanted people to be aware. Obesity now is the leading cause of preventable life years lost. For the longest time, we said cigarettes were the leading cause of premature death and disability. Well, obesity past cigarettes at some point, and we're not actually sure when, 47% more life years lost than tobacco, and tobacco, similar to high blood pressure, sitting in more or less tied at number two. That was presented at the 2017 Society of General Internal Medicine annual meeting, and it came from Cleveland Clinic, New York University School of Medicine, looking at U.S. population data and the causes of death. Obesity, here's the life years lost. Obesity, diabetes, tobacco, high blood pressure, high cholesterol, all those things lead to life years lost. Now, the thing is, obviously, tobacco can be stopped. Diabetes, high blood pressure, high cholesterol can be treated. Obesity is still a big, big problem because we don't really have effective medical treatments. The only treatments we have are surgery. Meanwhile, we need to be off the air. We need to be on the lam right now, Rick. Can you get us out of our ankle bracelets?
Special thanks to our Morehead State Public Radio producer, Sean Delaney, and to Eric Bilry, who wrote our Health Matters theme song, and to you, our loyal radio fans. Remember to show your support for Health Matters by visiting our digital empire. To listen to the show, go to WMKY.org or visit us on Facebook just do a search for HM Radio Show.
For our radio crew and the supportive folks at the Northeast AHAC, thanks for listening to our show. And remember,
Health Matters is used to lower your risk of stroke. If you have a heart rhythm disturbance called atrial fibrillation, not due to a heart valve problem,
Health Matters and other radio shows may increase your risk of bleeding, which can be serious and rarely lead to death. In a trial comparing aspirin, Health Matters had a modest increase in major bleeding.
Do not stop listening to Health Matters without talking to the doctor who prescribed it for you. Stopping our show increases your risk of having a stroke.
You may need to stop the show if you're having surgery or a dental procedure. Your doctor will tell you when you should stop listening and when you may start again. Your doctor may prescribe another radio show to help prevent blood clots from forming.
While listening to Health Matters, you may bruise more easily or it may take longer than usual for bleeding to stop. Call your doctor if you have bleeding that is severe or you cannot control.
People who listen to Health Matters and have medicine injected into their spinal area have a risk of forming a blood clot that can cause long-term or permanent loss of the ability to move. Don't do that.
Do not run out of Health Matters. Get fresh batteries to be sure you will have Health Matters available to avoid missing any shows.
Whatever you do, do not take this stuff lying down. Get out this week, make a healthy change in your life, and tune in next week for more exciting news from the world of medical research on Morehead State Public Radio.
Support for MSPR comes from the Northeast Kentucky Area Health Education Center, located at the St. Clair Regional Medical Center in Morehead. The Northeast AHEC connects students to careers, professionals to communities, and communities to better health. The Northeast AHEC strives to improve the supply and distribution of healthcare professionals through the community and academic educational partnerships. More information is available online at neahec.org.